joined now by ESPN's Professor John Clayton. And John, it's easy to talk labor. Before we do that, your thoughts on James Harrison's comments and how you expect the Steelers to react?
Well, so far the reaction is no comment, which is probably the smartest thing at all, because you know those things were very inflammatory, both against Commissioner Roger Goodell, Ben Roethlisberger, all those different things. One thing we know about James Harrison, he will speak his mind. Sometimes in the locker room after games, he may be quiet, but when he speaks, people listen, and sometimes they cringe.
John, you're a former Pittsburgh guy, so how will the Steelers handle this?
Quietly, internally, and professionally. That's the way they usually do it. One thing that they've been really since I started covering them, when I started back in the 70s, was that they'll let players speak their mind. Now, if things get a little bit too out of control, like I know when Rashard Mendenhall made some bad comments on tweets, they didn't get a chance to contact them, at least because of the fact that there was a lockout, but they'll sit down and quietly say, all right, let's behave here. But that's the one thing that they have. It's a very mature attitude. They've had three coaching changes since the 60s, and you know they're a very stable organization. They realize that James is going to talk. They also realize that James undergoes a lot of pressure just from the standpoint that you know he feels with some of the penalties against him and the fines against him, they're taking his game away. But I'm sure they'll talk at some point. They just can't talk now.
What do you think Harrison says on SportsCenter tonight? Does he apologize to Roethlisberger or say, yeah, I said that? That's
no,
what I believe.
I mean, he'll back up what he says. I mean, he's always been able to do that. So, he really expresses vocally some of the sentiments on the team. I mean, Ben is not the most popular guy on that team and really hasn't been for about the last 5 or 6 years. And so, you know, that's always been the quiet buzz that as great as Ben is, and he is a great player, he's one of the top 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the league, and they respect him for his ability, but still, you know, you can have a team, but you don't necessarily have to be huggy-huggy all the way through, and they're not huggy-huggy with Ben.
2012 season, is Harrison on the Steelers, John?
Absolutely. He's one of the best players in the team and one of the best players in the league, and so he'll be on the team. They realize that he'll speak his mind, but they also know what he can back it up with his play.
Now, has anything come out of the labor meetings? Have you heard anything yet today?
Not yet, which is probably a good sign. In fact, I just tried to send a text to a couple people in the room, and they didn't respond. So I think that's a good sign that they're sitting there and being focused on trying to get some things done. One thing that just happened, within the last 30 minutes, is that Drew Brees went on radio. And, you know, Drew, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady issued a statement yesterday through the Players Association. They say, we're plaintiffs in this case, and it's time to get a deal done. That, I think, in response to the story early in the week that said that there's a transition of 7 days that the NFL wants, and as you know, Vinny, that the players want to get the lockout over by the 22nd and start free agency then. So they came out to try to put a little pressure on the process. But the thing that Drew said, which was, as we both know, this deal is very close. Drew, who's been involved in these talks, also said that there's been more progress in the last 2 weeks than at any time during the previous process. And so you can see this thing is, you know, edging closer to getting it done.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with ESPN's John Clayton here on 105.7 The Fan. John, we've been hearing for weeks now that it's been close. Why, for fans, should they be more optimistic now than they have been in the past?
Well, you can identify where things are. The biggest thing was in the last 2 weeks and pretty much in the last week getting the economic issues resolved. That's the toughest thing because owners wanted a bigger share. Players didn't want to give up too much of their share. And so the fact that about a week ago they settled on the 48% solution, that's the big thing. And now it's like if you think that they're going to blow up the league season for the fifth year of a rookie contract, I just can't see that happening, particularly when it's easy to resolve as far as how to get that thing done. And so I think what happened is things got a little bit grumpy on Friday. What happened was that they spent 90 minutes with their Blackberries trying to at least get the printout of the Eighth Circuit Court ruling. That cost them 90 minutes. They had conference calls in the afternoon from both sides. That cost them 90 minutes. And so now they get back to the table, and despite the big progress that they had made in the last week, what ended up happening, they get mad over the rookie stuff, so they take a few days off. Now I think they take the checklist in and then try to get everything done by Friday.
What do you think it takes to solve the rookie wage scale, John?
Easy. I mean, you know, because as you know, the way that the deal is structured, Cam Newton would make $22 million over the first four. They're agreeable on that.
Right.
And they're also agreeable, the players, to having a fifth year on all first round contracts as long as it's somewhat decent money. So realizing that from 2004 to 2007, you're basically saying 31 first-round picks didn't make it to the fifth year. So what you're talking about is 23 or 24 players, because somehow, some way, eight players aren't going to make it to the fifth year with their team in this current draft. So now what you talk about is, okay, you set up a system that, based on performance, based on play time, a simple thing that says, okay, you can make this amount, top 10, top 15, top 20, or you just do a simple system where it's like, okay, if you do this, you can make $2 million, $4 million, $8 million, $12 million. You just put escalators in the fifth year because it's a fifth-year option, and these are deals that aren't even guaranteed.
Right.
It's an easy thing to do.
So that's what you see the compromise will be.
Yeah, I mean, because both are now agreeable to a fifth year. Now,
right.
There was a lot of people in the Players Association that wanted to at least have agents do the fifth year. Well, if they were going to take the deal on Friday, the players were not going to have the agent do the fifth deal. They wanted to have top 10, top 15, top 20. So now, knowing that it's just a number, you can at least now work on that number to try to come down and have some criteria in there. So I think it's just going to be a deal that has escalators, and then you move on to the next topic.
Why is it so big for ownership not to have the agents involved in that fifth year?
Because one of the things that they've seen is that, first off, the reason they don't want to have agents involved because owners can't trust themselves. I mean, you go back to the first contracts that were written in 1993, there was a big thing that Marvin Demoff and Don Yee did with the Rick Meyer contract that got the option bonuses in. And so now what it ended up happening, what was supposed to be a rookie pool got out of control because owners and teams let that happen to get their guys in on time. And so now all of a sudden you let the pot grow to 6 years, $78 million. So what they wanted to do this time is make it so that, in fact, what they originally wanted to do was just have a rookie wage scale where there would be no agents involved. Well, Roger Goodell, Jeff Patch, the negotiators for the NFL side on March 11th, came back and said, okay, let's go to the player side. We can have them do some of the deals. And so basically what they did now is that you can do the first 4 years of the deal, but what they don't want to have is agents coming in there as they will, being very smart about things and finding ways to break this cap and break the rookie pool apart.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with ESPN's John Clayton here on 105.7 The Fan. I think we all expect free agency to be a little messy because it's going to be just a Wild West sort of situation. In your mind, who are the first dominoes to fall, and where do you think they'll go?
Well, it has to be Nnamdi Asamoah because he's the best player. And usually when you have the best player, there's going to be enough cheating done in the time going up into free agency that Nnamdi will know by 3 or 4 in the morning where he's going to go. And I don't know. You would have to think that the Redskins are going to at least offer. You think that the Ravens are going to be in there. But I think that Tampa Bay has $63 million to spend, and they're going to be forced to spend it in free agency. They're going to be a big player in this thing, too. Houston's going to be a big player in this. Nnamdi, and don't be surprised if San Francisco comes in there, but I think when you start to look at free agency, Nnamdi's the biggest name in free agency this year.
Hey John, speaking of free agency, do you see any type of window to sign your own free agents, or do we go straight into free agency?
I think there might be a 2 or 3 day window, but
why?
I think for the most part.
Why? With the time frame we have, why would they do that?
Well, it's a compromise because, the owners would like to have, and I don't even know why they like to have it. It's like it's going to be a nightmare for general managers anyways, and you also know that everybody's going to be cheating through those.
No question.
Days.
Yeah, just so going to be 3 days of cheating.
I think if you start at the 22nd as a compromise, maybe you say, okay, you buy 3 days and you take it to the 25th. Clearly, you can't have 7 days. I mean, that's not going to be acceptable. But to me, it's one of those things, too, is that, teams also have to get familiar with the rules. I mean, they've got to figure out, because right now they're kind of going cold, not knowing what the cap is. I mean, they figure that the cap's going to be $121 or $120 million. And also, too, remember, you've got seven teams currently that are over the cap, and they've got to find ways to get under the cap. So you almost have to create some time right now for that. So that's why I can see 2 or 3 days, but clearly not seven. And I still think the likelihood is they just started on the 22nd right after they get back from Atlanta.
So once we get a handshake deal, you think free agency starts within a couple of days?
No, I think free agency starts after the 21st. I think that, because remember, it's meaningless until the plaintiffs sign off on this deal and settle in the court system. And also, too, they have to recertify the union. I mean, the union has to, you take a day or two to have that happen, and you also have to vote this thing in. So I think once they get the handshake deal, which would be today, tomorrow, or Friday, then you have to go through all the little mechanisms to really take it to the 21st. And so I have to think at this stage what you're looking at is, the 22nd starting it at the earliest and the 25th starting it at the latest.
So, John, just to clarify, in your opinion, when does does this deal get done?
I think Friday, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's Thursday, and it wouldn't stun me if it's later today. This vein of silence right now is a very good thing, because silence means people are getting work done. I know on Friday there was just too much time and too much space that there wasn't things getting done, and that's led to at least this thing going into this week. I mean, there was a lot of people that thought the deal could have got done on Friday. Now I think that you got more owners up there, more players up there. Everybody's set to get this thing done.
John, do you see more first-round holdouts this year?
I don't think so. I mean, now, a lot of that depends on the mechanisms. Now, guys report late? Yeah, there's going to be more late reporting guys just because there's not enough time to get everything done. But one of the things I know that they're going to have in that deal is a date where if you don't have your deal signed, you cannot max out your contract. And all of a sudden, you know, if you're trying to hold out for a little bit more, and all of a sudden that four-year $22 million deal shrinks to 4 years $15 million, and you can't get out of it, you know, agents are going to be under the gun to try to get this thing done. One of the things that they do want to have in this deal from the owner's standpoint is the minimal chance of holdouts. And so I think that'll be allowed just from the standpoint that agents can do the deal, but you can't take it all the way and get a max deal all of a sudden sometime by September.
John, how important is it for the Ravens to re-sign Marshall Yanda?
I think very important. I mean, you know, one of the things that's starting to come out is that the Redskins may be interested, but I think that you want to have continuity on the offensive line. I mean, this is a team that's been to the playoffs three straight years with a quarterback that has been healthy for three straight years. You don't want to create too many holes in that line, and Yanda's a big part of that.
Hey, John, it sounds like we're going to have 90-man rosters for camp. And do you think we'll have the regular time frame for cutdowns after the third game? Prior, we went from, I think it was 80 to 75, and then after the final game, we went from 75 down to 53. What do you think? Do we just have one cut and let everybody have the 90? They probably need the extra guys for camp.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to listen to the competition committee, because I think the competition committee is going to want pretty much one cut, because one of the things you just don't know is how this preseason is going to go. We're uncharted territory, and so what you might have, particularly in that fourth preseason game where you're not going to play any of your veterans or very few of your veterans, you may have 20, 30 guys on the sidelines with injuries, and so it's better to keep them for 90. I mean, you know, what you're talking about is, what, $10,000 to $15,000? I mean, that's not that much money for the $1,000 or $1,500 that those players are going to get. So I think what you do is you just have one cut right at the end, because, you know, if you don't want to lose too many players, teams can make the decision that they want to shorten their list. If they have a road game for that fourth game, you can cut some guys before that. But I think for the most part, you just have one cut and go.
John, what do you think this year on rosters? More one-year veteran free agents or more undrafted free agents?
More one-year veteran free agents, because, one, you get the veteran exception. Two, you need the experience. And three, what can you really count on from undrafted guys that have been not coached through the entire summer? I mean, they're going to be learning. I mean, you're going to have those guys on the practice squad, not on the regular roster. And so the way it usually goes is that you have 51 undrafted guys make rosters, and then 90 more fill in as injury replacements as the season goes on. Now, those guys aren't really going to be prepared as injury replacements coming off the practice squad. So in the end, I think you have to go with more veterans all the way through.
Ken Wyman and Vinny Serrato talking with ESPN's John Clayton here on 105.7 The Fan. Last thing, John, I'm hearing the preseason should be safe except for the Hall of Fame game. Do you see that the Hall of Fame game happening? And if not, what do they do?
Hall of Fame game's fine. I don't see any problem there, because both teams have realized you can go in as late as August 1st and still have a game. Tennessee did it a couple years ago. Indy's gone in 7-8 days before a game, and the Rams have already conceded. If that's the case and they have to start camp on August 1st, they can still have a game. That's why you can have the 90-man roster and put some guys out there. It may not be a pretty game, but this game, you know, it's getting tight, but it's still, it's fine. It's a go.
John, as always, we appreciate your time. Hopefully next week we're talking about getting ready for free agency.
That'd be great.
Thanks, John.
Thanks.